Hey everyone, welcome to Hacker Public Radio. Today's show is How I Found Linux, Episode 1. I'm recording this at work on my EEE PC. I'm on my lunch break, so there might be a little bit of background noise. I'm probably about 15-20 feet away from an air compressor, so this thing will not shut off. But anyways, if you would like to join in and let us know how you found Linux, I'll give you the information at the end of this show. For now, enjoy these clips.
Hello, I'm Little Miss 64. I just wanted to tell you how I first started using Linux. Daddy put Linux on every computer in the house, and the first computers I started using were Mummy's and Daddy's. So, the first game I played was Tux. And I also got some games on my computer, so I play them a lot. And the games are called Frozen Bubble and Potato Head and the card game. I got some that I don't know what they're called, Tux Racing. One game that I really like to play is a tank game where me and Joe Lindsay keep hurting my dad and Terry. And that was very fun because Joe Lindsay is a good fighter. And I got this thing where it explodes everything around you.
Oh, and not with Joe Lindsay again. That's all over here.
And I also have a thing where you can get this thing and you can jump. And I got it. And I kept filling up with Daddy and wants to be Terry. I kept blowing them up with the one where with the explosion that explodes everything around you. I was exploding everybody until someone shot me. And Grandma and Grandpa got me a computer that runs Linux. I got it at Christmas time, and it's an 888 PC, and I can play lots of stuff on it on Linux. And it has a camera in it, and I use the camera for Skype, and I call Grandma, and if it's not going, I just go down to the little camera picture, and then it tells you if you want to put it on or not. And I can see Grandma as well, because she's got the same computer, and I also go on the internet, and I play. And Daddy got me heaps of games on the internet. So that's it. So thanks everybody for listening. Bye.
How I found Linux. Well, that's a good question. But I suppose the first question is, who am I? Well, I'm Peter from the Linux Cranks podcast. I certainly don't use Linux in my day job. I spend most of my time at home on the bloody thing. And now Monster Bees asked me how I found it. And, you know, I really have to sit back and think about that, because I found Linux, well, originally it was back, I know, with Mandrake 8, I think it was, and I just played around with it for a little while. Was mildly amused by it. Back then, I certainly didn't format the drive and get rid of Windows, that's for sure. Then I know I dabbled with Mandriva. I think it was the 10 series, and started to get a little bit more serious about it. I'm not quite sure what year that was. I do recall playing with it and trying to get an internal modem going. I had no trouble getting the external modem going. I wasn't able to share the modem like you could in Windows and share the internet access across several machines. So it really, at that stage, wasn't really a alternative to Windows. I think the software on it was pretty good from what I recall, although I'm pretty sure OpenOffice wasn't around in those days either. But when did I really get serious with Linux? Now, that's a good question. Now, it must have been back about in 2003, I think, when Zeus 9 came out, and I was in a news agency, and on the front of a computer magazine, I saw that this operating system they were giving away for free, and I brought it home. Lo and behold, I actually installed it, and at the time, I think I had an internal modem with a Motorola chipset on it, and lo and behold, it was actually supported by Zeus, which certainly gave me encouragement, and I started to play around with it, and it was about that stage where I started to realise that Linux could certainly be a viable, well, not just alternative, but a replacement to Windows. You know, I was actually sick of Windows by this stage for numerous reasons that I don't need to go into, because I think just about everyone knows what they are. Hold on a second. The question wasn't when I found Linux, it was where I found Linux. What have I been talking about? I found Linux, a magazine, a computer magazine. I think that's where I got my original Mandrake disk. It's certainly where I got my Zeus 9 disk. So, yeah, really, that's it. That's where I found it. That's what Monster B wanted to know. Don't use it in my job because I mow lawns on a golf course. And speaking of golf courses, I believe next audio clip you're going to hear is from David Abbott from the Linux Crazy podcast, who just happens to work on a golf course as well. So, David, I'll hand it over to you.
I was getting some older computers and trying to get them to work, so I needed some parts. And I went down to the local computer store, and as I was at the local computer store, I would dream about a certain laptop or the newest desktops that were out and just look around the store. Maybe I needed some RAM for one of the old boxes that didn't work, or I wanted to upgrade the RAM, or a hard drive was bad, and I went to the store for that initially. But then as I was looking around, there was this book, and it was called Red Hat 9 for Dummies. So I started looking at it, and I thought, wow, this is pretty interesting. I was already having trouble with Windows. I'd always kind of played with Windows even, and play with the registry and try to make it go faster. And because of that, or just because of the nature of Windows, it was always having problems. Plus, every time I turned around, somebody wanted some money if it wasn't $10 for this or $20 for a video player. So I got the Red Hat 9, and one of my old boxes that I had, I put it on and it installed fine. Right off the bat, I started having some problems as far as getting stuff to work. I had an old Lexmark printer, so I went to Linux Questions, and it's a forum, and there it was almost like an adventure of trying to get this hardware to work, and along the way I would learn a lot in each little mission of trying to get something working, and I really enjoyed it a lot. And one of the big things I enjoyed too was the community. Right off the bat, everybody was real helpful, wanted me to see me succeed as much as I did, and it was a lot of fun right from the beginning and still is today. I started out with that Red Hat 9, then I moved on to Debian, enjoyed Debian a lot, moved on to Slackware, really liked Slackware, and eventually moved on to Gentoo, and really enjoyed Gentoo. So that's how I got started in Linux. See y'all later. Bye.
Hi, this is Klaatu, and this is how I found Linux. First of all, I have been using macOS my entire life, ever since I was born. And when I went to OS X, I heard a lot of murmurings about, oh, how it was based on Unix, and Unix was powerful, blah, blah, blah. I didn't know what it was, but I was curious about it. And then there was articles that I was reading in, actually, filmmaking magazines. So there are people working with render farms, and the assistant editors and people like that were in these magazines, and they were all commenting on how such and such a program was so powerful because it was based on Unix, so you could script it, and you could have it going without even launching the GUI front end that program at all. And of course I had no idea what they were talking about, but it sounded fascinating. The idea that you could do anything, let alone making movies, without really opening up this gigantic program really intrigued me. And somewhat related to all that, although actually in a different part of my mind, I was really interested around that time in trying to find a way to customize my computer more, even come up with a new computing paradigm, a different way for people to interface with their computer. I just thought we'd all been doing it the same way ever since I was born. I was just wondering if there was any other way to do it. So I was looking at theming, and I was looking at this program called Quicksilver, which is exactly like KRunner or GnomeDo. So I was looking at that, trying to come up with a new way to interface with the computer. Couldn't find it, obviously, but I got as close as I could without actually realizing that there was something like Enlightenment or Fluxbox, which really did do just things completely differently, or just using the terminal a lot, which was a lot different. And again, around the same time, I was also realizing, I was looking around at my apartment and all these computers, and I realized that I've got all these old computers, and they're all contributing into my, you know, little video projects for school and stuff. And I was like, man, it's all these old computers, it just feels like they're a lot slower than they should be. I know that there's a lot of power here, but they're going so slow because, you know, I had to upgrade this OS in order to get this application on it. It just seemed like so many resources were being wasted, and I had the sense that that was the case, but I didn't know what to do about it. I didn't know how to fix that. Somewhat separate, but also somewhat related to the whole macOS 10 and getting curious about Unix thing, was that I started reading up a lot about the terminal, how to use it, stuff like that. So I started poking around there, and eventually I stumbled across stuff that you couldn't really find through the graphical user interface of OS 10. You know, documentation for Emacs specifically in the /user/share/Emacs/doc/whatever, stuff that you just couldn't find otherwise. So I was really getting fascinated by some documentation that I was reading, written. A lot of it was written by Stallman, and I read the GPL version too, and things like that. So my eyes were opened to all that, those ideas, and I eventually dug deeper and found the FSF, the Free Software Foundation website, and I was reading it, and it was as if though all my life philosophies were culminating into one thing, except instead of being related to society or the way to live your life, they were being directed in the way that you compute and the operating system that you use. So it was really, it was a major discovery for me. So once I found out that there was such a thing as a free operating system that was written by the users, and it was written for the users, and it was good and powerful, and it had this great Unix philosophy behind it, I was really excited about that. And I went and got a book. It was a green book. I don't remember what the title was, but it had a Mandriva demo disc in the back cover. So I popped that into an old computer that I found on Craigslist, and it barely worked. But at least it gave me the experience of, yeah, you can put a disc into a computer and boot into a completely different operating system than what you're used to. It was epiphanal. I continued reading up on Linux and eventually discovered Slackware, found that would probably be the way to go for me. And then I did something really crazy. I did one of those online scams, you know, the things that you should never do, like view 1,000 ads or whatever and sign up for them and you'll get a free computer, you know, something like that. And I did that, and I would sign up for everything, and then I would cancel the next day or whatever. And finally they actually sent me a free Sony Vaio. I was shocked. That was my main computer for a long time, running Slackware, and then I would dual boot with whatever distro of the day there was, you know, Ubuntu, mostly Ubuntu flavors, Fedora, Debian, I don't know, Mandriva, random things, whatever distro Linux format was sending out that month with their magazine. And I was listening to a lot of Chest Griffin, of course. That helped me get started. And aside from that, just using it, reading up about it, listening to lots of podcasts, that got me into Linux.
This is Lost in Bronx. I'm a relative newcomer to Linux. I played with my first live CD only about 2 years ago. It was Puppy 2.14, I think. I read about it on Lifehacker or some crap, I don't know. And it sounded cool, and it was free, as in beer, which I value highly, being the original cheap Yankee. So I tried it, and I liked it. I liked it a lot. And I used it on an ancient Dell laptop for nearly 6 months, still as a live CD environment, before finally learning how to do a hard drive install. That's how steep my learning curve has been. I was on Windows for maybe 10 years before that, and a sworn Luddite before even that, a real technophobe. But I'm still embarrassingly ignorant about computers in general, and Linux in particular. But I'll tell you, I learned more about both those things in that first 6 months of Puppy than I had in the entire 10 years on Windows. So I'm nobody's idea of a geek, but I've come a long way, baby. currently we have four machines in the house running Debian Etch, Ubuntu Hardy, or derivatives, and a slightly out-of-date DSL on a greatly out-of-date HP desktop box. We are Windows-free, and that feels very good. No, I'm not a free or open-source software evangelist. I find tambourine shaking of any stripe to be personally offensive. I don't tell other people how to live, and I demand that respect in return, but I'm rabid in my way, and I'm quick to bring it up in tech-related conversations. See, in the end, I'm a whatever-works kind of guy, and for me and mine, Linux works.
This is Dwick. This is Hacker Public Radio episode on How I Found Linux. I don't really remember or can't tell you exactly how I found Linux. I do remember some of the what and the why and the when I found Linux. In 2002, I had never had a computer in my home. I had worked pretty extensively with computers at work, both Macintosh and Windows. And I decided I wanted to buy a home computer, and furthermore decided I wanted to build it myself. And I was not in any way knowledgeable about the workings of a computer. So I probably spent about 6 months just researching hardware. And that was the sort of the beginning of my plunge into geekery. As I researched the hardware, I put everything together, I made placed the order, and then I started thinking about software. And I suppose sometime during that research, I stumbled upon Linux. And so I do remember, before I say that, I ordered a copy of XP Home Edition with my hardware. I think it cost about $75, which was a little irritating. And so I remember about that time going to DistroWatch, and I had no idea what Linux was, and I remember seeing this information on ISOs, and I was like, what the heck is this? And you can download this and burn it to a CD and pop it in my computer? Wow. So curious, I tried it out, and I remember just downloading a couple distributions, just sort of picked some randomly. I think Arc Linux, ARK, was some distribution out of, it was based on Slackware, and I never could get that one to work. But, and the other one I downloaded at that time was JAMD, which was a Red Hat 9 derivative. And that, I still have the notes from when I built my computer. I kept some copious notes. JAMD was the very first distribution that went on there. I multi-booted the thing. I partitioned the hell out of the hard drive and put a couple other distributions on as well. But JAMD was my very first Linux distribution. For about a year or two, probably, I was fascinated when I first saw the KDE desktop. And it was KDE, I believe. Yeah, I'm sure it was, even though it was Red Hat derivative. And I was fascinated. I'm like, what is this? Wow, this is awesome. And further plunged into geekery. And now, right now, I'm probably at the depths of geekery. But that was the beginnings. How I found Linux through DistroWatch. I downloaded an ISO. I got to pause. So anyway, for about 2 years, I messed around with various distributions and ran Windows as well. Finally settled on a Mandrake 10, I believe it was, and ran that exclusively for a while. Dumped Windows eventually. No more Windows. Debian, and well, you don't want to hear where it's gone from there. Similar to probably all your experiences, but that's where I found Linux. All right, enjoy. Bye.
Hi, my name is Ken Fallon, and today I'm going to tell you about how I first got interested in Linux. My first install of Linux was back in the 90s. It was on the same PC, and at the same time I was testing Windows 95, and it was on a 486 computer. It was the first computer we had that had a CD-ROM in it. And I remember spending weeks trying to get the correct vertical and horizontal resolution of my monitor to get an X-terminal up. Eventually I did get an X-terminal up, but I sat there looking at the screen well, there's no applications, I can actually do nothing with this. So it's the days before the internet. So my interest in Linux remained relatively dormant. It was something that I had on my radar until I started working in the UK, or moved to the UK shortly after that. There, some of the engineers were using Linux. And then when I moved to the Netherlands, we were working for a satellite ISP. And it was really there that I began to see the beauty and the power of Linux and open source in general. The solution that they had was providing ISP services over satellite. So you have a dial-up modem, you dial in with a PPTP tunnel. When you requested some traffic, it would go over the PPTP tunnel to our platform, be terminated there, and the reply would be sent back to you. And instead of the MAC address of your PPTP tunnel, we would change it and we would send it to the MAC address of your DVB card, which is a digital video broadcasting card. Your packet would be sent back out to the satellites, come back down, be picked up by your dish. Your dish will go back into your computer, into your DVB card. The DVB card will say, yeah, this has got the MAC address for me, and it unpacks the packet and sends it back up with the correct IP address of the PPTP connection and passes it back up to the stack. And as far as the operating system was concerned, this was an answer to the packet, so I didn't really care where it came from. It just miraculously did. So all of that was done using Linux servers, PPTP daemon, Squid for some caching, and IP tables, and basically a Perl script to wrap the whole thing together. I struggled with the whole concept of that for a good while, and then as I became more and more involved in the platform, I became to realize how powerful Linux was. While I was there, I actually put my back out and was laid up in bed. So I had my laptop with me, and I had an internet connection, so I resolved at that stage to download every Linux distro and started playing with them. And the first one I tried was Linux from scratch, and I went through that manual and learned as much as I could. And then I went through Gentoo, Red Hat, Debian, all the various different versions. So that's pretty much how I got into Linux. Since then, I've been using it at home exclusively for the last I've been using it since then as my main desktop. I've been using it exclusively for the last 3-4 years at work and at home. So, that's it. Hope you found that interesting.
Hello, this is Wayne. Some of you know me as Asmus from IRC and the Linux Cranks podcast. The question is, what brought me to Linux? I could answer that very simply, but we'll make a long story short, or make a short story long. Take your pick. I'm kind of an old graybeard. I started in electronics in the '60s. Worked on my first computer in the late '60s. It wasn't anything like what people consider computers today, but it was binary. Now, one of the first things I found was that I enjoyed electronics as a hobby a lot more than I did working in them. So, though I started my working career as an electronics technician, I branched out, let's say, things I enjoyed more for working and kind of kept electronics to play with. I got started back in with computers again in the 80s with a TI-99-4A, and had a lot of fun with that machine. It had BASIC on it. No disk drives of any kind. Used tape drives for storage, but I learned the basics of programming on it, which I did just for play. Nothing really spectacular there. I just make it do what I wanted it to do, and that was good enough. I've been an amateur radio operator for better than 20 years. I still have a valid ham ticket. I'm not as active on the ham bands as I used to be, but I've still got the ticket and still have the equipment if the mood strikes me. But I guess the question was, how did I get started in Linux? Well, as an amateur, I ran a bulletin board on the packet AX25 protocol, and I ran all through the 90s, out of the 80s and into the 90s, kept a amateur bulletin board going. Actually, a lot of the packet would remind you of IRC. If you're not familiar with it, you feel right at home there. In the early 90s, I was exposed to some Linux fanboys who quickly turned me off on it. they ticked me off bad. I had no use for it at all at the time. But that was just because of the way it was presented to me. I imagine some of you may have had a similar experience there. But as far as my active use of Linux, that would only be about 3 years ago. My accountant, after he'd did some work for me and saved me a whole bunch of money, as I was going out the door, he handed me an Ubuntu Dapper Drake disk and said, here, go play with this. Tell me what you think of it. I did, and that's the beginning of my forte into Linux. It's been enjoyable. I find I learn a little bit all the time with it. It did take me about a year playing with it before I finally got rid of Windows altogether. But I've been very comfortable the last couple of years with just a Linux machine around. There's nothing I want to do on a computer that Linux won't do for me. Well, my computer usage is strictly a hobby now, and hobbies are supposed to be fun, and that's why I use Linux.
All right, that was really cool. If you would like to join in on the next show, just record an audio clip on how you found Linux. It could be in any format. It could be a WAV, an AUG, a FLAC, or even an MP3. Just email it to me at monsterb@linuxcranks.info. That will be in the show notes. Or if you have a server or maybe a Dropbox account, just send me the link so I can download it. And I'll add it to the show. And it doesn't matter if you're at work, like me, with all this background noise, or if you're frying eggs like Azmuth, just send them in. All right, thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you next time.
Thank you for listening to Hack Republic Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.